talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you on Civic Media statewide. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And boy, is it being made this afternoon. We're going to go right to the speaker vote out in the Capitol, Washington, D.C. I'm going to bring you up to speed on where we're at right now, right as we're sitting here. And then some of the background of how the vote came about. And then my views on where it's going to go. First of all, they started just after noon, our time. The first vote, remember something. The Republicans have 222 seats. The Democrats have 213. That totals 435. However, one of the Democrats died, and his successor hasn't been elected. It's a staunch Democratic seat. So basically, right now, we have 212, not 213. McCarthy needs a majority of the people voting. So if everybody votes, he needs 218 votes. And you recall going into this, as of yesterday, there were five diehards who said they'd never vote for him, and there were a total of nine others who wrote a letter saying he was weak and strange and no good. And, you know, I mean, given politics, people say that kind of stuff and then they cave. So I took that with a grain of salt. Well, now we have empirical data. McCarthy just lost the second round. Remember this. It's been 100 years, 2023, since somebody didn't win on the first round for speaker. 100 years, exactly to the year. And that took three ballots. Before that, the Civil War era took 133 ballots, and it stretched from December of the year till February. Now, you may think, oh, this only happened two times. No, that's not right. There are 15 times in the history of our country going back to 1788 where it went beyond one ballot. That's because before the Civil War, it's fairly common. It was not uncommon at all. You know, you had Federalists, you had Whigs, you had Democrats, you had free silver, free soil, you had all these parties. And it took a lot of ballots. But, you know, since 1923, it's 100 years, things have calmed down. We have Democrats, we have Republicans. The Republicans get together in their caucus. The Democrats get together. We come up with, you know, the person who has the majority, at least in the caucus, and everybody else grumbles and goes along. Well, that's no longer the case. That is absolutely no longer the case, certainly not in the Republican Party. Ever since the rise of the Tea Party 12 years ago and the Freedom Caucus, which is the successor to the Tea Party, you have people like Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar, people of that nature, who are simply never going to compromise even within their own party. So here's what happened on the first vote. On the first vote, 19 people voted against Kevin McCarthy. 19 of them. 10 of them voted for Andy Biggs of Arizona, who's a right-wing nut. I mean, truly a right-wing nut. And he ran against McCarthy before in the Republican caucus. That was a secret ballot a while ago where they decided who they would put up. Like the Democrats voted for Hakeem Jeffries unanimously, and they put him up as speaker. Well, the Republicans put up McCarthy, but Biggs got 33 votes against him in secret ballot. Well, this is not a secret ballot. So it goes there. 19 members of Congress voted against Kevin McCarthy. 10 of them voted for Andy Biggs. 6 of them voted for Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan, who is one of the conspirators. He was the one who met with Trump in the White House and plotted the insurrection. And this idiot gets 6 votes. And then there were three others. One was for a guy named Lee Zeldin. Now, Lee Zeldin was the Republican candidate for governor against Kathy Hochul in New York just now, just in the fall election. He lost. So he's not even in Congress anymore. He lost. But you don't have to be in Congress. There are some people that wanted to vote for Donald Trump. You know, they could vote for Clint Eastwood. They could vote for Tom Brady. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be in Congress to be the speaker, believe it or not, even though you can't vote, obviously. So this guy votes for Lee Zeldin. He's no longer in there. And two others voted for two strays. Two stray dogs is who they voted for. But there were 19. This time around, they all got quite sly, and all 19 voted from Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, the conspirator. Biggs nominated him, or I should say, Biggs voted for him and proposed him. So he brought all the Biggs votes. Jim Jordan had his six votes, and the guy that voted Harris in Maryland, who voted for Lee Zeldin, voted for Jordan, and so did the other two stray dogs. So what you end up with is 19 diehards. Okay, that was the second ballot. Where he lost the first ballot, they go to the second ballot. And the ballot thing, if you turn on MSNBC or C-SPAN or something and watch it, it's very interesting. Because the clerk will go alphabetically, you know, Abrams, Biggs, that kind of thing. And they shout a name out. And then some don't shout at anything because they're at lunch. And so when the whole thing is over, she goes, all right, there were seven people who didn't vote. Now you back. And then they get to vote. This is a very, very delicate ballet going on. And I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen. McCarthy has to be very, very careful. There's a curious rule that says that if somebody votes and shouts out any name, Jordan, Biggs, they can Zeldin, they can, you know, Brad Pitt, they can throw out any name they want, then he needs 218 votes. But if somebody votes present or doesn't vote, that lowers the, they're considered not to be in the mix, and he needs fewer votes. So, for instance, he needs 218. But what happens if a couple of people skip town? They go for lunch. They shut up. They just sit there, and there aren't the full complement of votes. He only needs a majority of the people who are named and then name in somebody in response as voting for him. So one of his problems is, what happens if all 19 of these folks in the Freedom Caucus and their affiliates go, all right, we're not going to get Jim Jordan, so we are just not going to vote for Kevin McCarthy. You know what happens? Hakeem Jeffries becomes the speaker, the Democrat, because Hakeem Jeffries has 213 votes. Hakeem Jeffries, one guy died. Okay, he has 212 votes. He has 212 votes. If they pull these shenanigans too promiscuously, and they have too many people who just go present, or I'm not here, or get out of here, or flip them the bird, basically, and don't do anything, then the threshold of the 50% comes down. You know, McCarthy only got 203 votes. Because Jordan got 19 and Hakeem Jeffries got 212. So that is what happens if the Jordan people all go over. Now, if they are sly and crafty enough, they'll get together and they'll go, okay, we want to hurt McCarthy, but we don't want Hakeem Jeffries. So on the next round, only about eight of us will do this, or seven or six, or whatever it takes not to go to put Hakeem Jeffries in first place. I'll tell you, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Kevin McCarthy is going to be speaker. And I'll tell you why. Because I saw some of the action from the floor, what these people were saying. And these weren't just people who said, well, I'd have to talk to him some more or something like that. They go, I will never vote for him. Matt Gaetz said, if you're going to drain the swamp, you can't put the biggest alligator in charge of the cleanup. If you call the guy an alligator as part of the swap, how do you go back and hold your head up in your district and say, he intimidated me? No, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. This Freedom Caucus are hardcore. They're extreme. They're bad news. Bad news. The other thing I think they remember, back when George H.W. Bush was president, he said, I will never raise taxes, read my lips. And then he raised them and he lost the election. It is an article of faith in the Republican Party right now, and taxes is the main thing, but it's not just taxes, that if you say something, you can't back down. You can't back down. You will look weak like George H.W. Bush and you'll lose. These guys can't back down. But Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan can never be the speaker because he's too strange and weird. And he had, frankly, very, very serious allegations against him of not turning in some a guy who was abusing wrestlers when he was an assistant wrestling coach. And he ain't going to be speaker. Nobody wants this guy. Conspirator. Sad little fact. He was the NCAA wrestling champion at 138 pounds. Guess what university he wrestled for? UW-Madison, believe it or not. But I don't want this clown. I'm a graduate of the UW-Madison Law School. I don't want this clown. I don't care what he wrestles. He could wrestle at 55 pounds, and that's intellectually what he does wrestle at. So he's not getting it, see? But if they will veto McCarthy, they got to come up with somebody. And after a few ballots, what I think they're going to do, they're going to agree on Steve Scalise, the number two. Steve Scalise was the guy who was shot by that extremist at a congressional softball game. And he was badly wounded, so he has some chops. They think he's a veteran of some sort. I don't even think he was a veteran, but he was shot. That's good enough for them. And nobody knows what he stands for. He mouths off right-wing stuff. The moderates may think he'll be more like Moscow Mitch, who tomorrow will be with Biden in Kentucky, blessing the Ohio-Kentucky bridge and all that. That's what I think may happen. We're going to a break. The lines are live. I see your name. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. And a quick update as I go to the lines. We're on the third ballot, and Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan already has six votes, which means that McCarthy's not going to win this ballot either, and it's going to go on as I've described. We're going to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Andrew.
Happy New Year, Professor Flynn. I want to say I want to say first, thank you to all of your sponsors for keeping your show on the air. They're so great. I wish they were here. I wish they were in Detroit. But anyway, and as far as this deal goes in the House, boy, you've taught us a lot. It's like herding little cats, Professor, and we know what creeps in on little cat's feet, don't we? Thank you. Have
fascism.
A good day.
Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Thank you, Andrew. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Wisco Paul.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Matt. Very interesting day. No matter who gets in as a speaker, I'm afraid we're in for some we're in for a lot of turmoil. We'll be lucky if they don't shut the country down. It's kind of scary if you think about how disruptive this whole Congress could actually be. I hope they can pass bills just to keep us afloat. And I want to just mention two other quick things because the McCarthy speaker thing takes kind of all the air out of the eye. It takes the headlines right now. But there's an article today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about Ron Johnson. Turns out he was okay with fake electors and overturning our election. And one other thing, there's a gentleman running for the Supreme Court named Mitchell that does have some troubling things in his background. So I wish you'd take a little time to mention those two things out of the Journal Sentinel. And with that, thanks for all the information. I was not aware that this hadn't happened since the Civil War. It's quite an amazing time, Matt. So keep up the good work. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Yeah, and thanks so much. Yeah, thanks for raising some of that other stuff. And I will mention that in conjunction with the Supreme Court race. We're going to the lines. We're going for Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling What's Your Mind today, Jean.
Well, thank you, Matt, for this topic and the great work that you're doing, your wonderful callers. But I have to tell you, you know, I was wondering if you were watching. I was watching. I thought, what a clown show. The chaos, confusion, ridiculousness when families are there. This has been done the same way for years and years. These people are there to fill a new position that the voters trusted in them and voted for them. And there they are, again, chaos. And then I heard from one of the people that are talking in the news, people were saying something about until a speaker is seated and elected, Congress can't do any work. Isn't that a great way to have some vacation time and fun in front of the TV cameras, is to put on a show like this? Oh, I'll tell you something. Bastion's coming in and a lot of little kitty speak. Thank you, Matt, for everything you do. I just had to give my 2 cents worth. And I'm listening to you first, and I'll watch the ending. But thanks a lot for your show, Matt.
Thank you so much, Jean. And, yeah, and you know, Jean made a good point, and this is unbelievable. If you look at the TV, there's a lot of these members of Congress have their kids there and their spouses there and their wives and husbands and little kids, infants, little kids. It's terrific. And the whole idea is you go there, you're supposed to be sworn in, and then take a picture with the new speaker. Here's a sad fact. Only the speaker can swear you in. The speaker has to be picked before you can be sworn in. The speaker has to be picked. So these people came out, and they, you know, they didn't come out to stay in a hotel for a week. They thought they were going to do it today. If this goes several days, and I think it will, it'll at least go into tomorrow and maybe beyond that before they seize on Scalise. These poor people are going home. And yet it's a piece of history. And when I say you're not woke unless you know history, history is being made every second that you're awake, whether you know it or not, and is really being made right now. And just to respond to Wisco Paul, what he said about the Supreme Court race, Judge Janet Protasiewicz is terrific, Protasiewicz, most experienced prosecutor in the race, more than 20 years, worst crimes in Milwaukee she's prosecuted, and then very experienced judge. The sad thing is there's another fellow named Mitchell. He's from Madison. He's a pastor of a church. Pastor of a church. Christ is a Solid Rock Church. That's the name of it. He founded the church. And come to find out, a newspaper article in Milwaukee this morning, that his wife, when they divorced, had said he abused her and had sex with her when she was unconscious. He gave her a sleeping pill or something. He denied it. She said, look, let's move on. She did say at the time that he'd emotionally abused her for a long time. And then she said she'd checked him into for some mental health thing for a clinic. And he said, no, I checked myself in. And he said he was homeless for a period of time. You know, this is a guy that has improved himself, and I'm very happy for him. But we're talking about the Supreme Court. And you saw what the Republicans did to slime Mandela Barnes. And you saw what happened to Herschel Walker down in Atlanta and down in Georgia. I'm tired of this, to be very honest with you. We have the most experienced candidate who will stand up for fair maps, Janet Protasiewicz. We have the least experienced candidate in Dan Kelly, who's opposed to democracy and opposed to fair maps. Janet Protasiewicz against Dan Kelly. And that's it. And if you like gerrymandering, vote for Dan Kelly. But if you like fair maps and try to turn our democracy around, vote for Janet Protasiewicz. And there are other candidates, as I say, in the race, but that is what it is coming down to. We're going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to go back to a good comment that some one of the callers made, maybe it was Gina Beauclair, talking about that it may have been Paul, it may have been Andrew, it may have been somebody else, talking about regardless of who is the speaker, the Republicans are going to put out a lot of bad stuff. Boil it down, that's what's going to happen. And that's very true. And I'm going to give you two examples. One of them is, I believe, the way it looks now, that of the 19 people voting for Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, and they're on the third ballot right now, and he already had six votes, and they were only like a quarter of the way through the roll call. There's no way that those people are going to back down. There's no way they're going to back down. They have said too many things. One guy goes, well, if you're going to drain the swamp, you don't pick the biggest alligator to do it. You can't say something like that and then vote for the guy. Chip Roy of Texas, who's another right-wing nut, goes, I'll never vote for him. If he then votes for him, he's dead in the primary the next time in his own district. So what's happening is it's the George H.W. Bush syndrome. They saw what happened to him. You can't say, read my lips, I won't raise taxes, and then raise taxes. That's what he did. You can't say, read my lips, he's an alligator in the swamp, not going to vote for him, and then vote for him. These guys won't back down, but what happens? It went 133 ballots during the Civil War. It happened 15 times in our country's history, and 13 times were before the Civil War. There were fights among everybody. It settled down. 1923, the last time, there were three ballots. And in those days, the insurgents and the Republicans, the Republican-dominated legislature, were the progressives, the fighting Bob La Follette types. They didn't want a stalwart Republican. They wanted a progressive Republican, so they fought from the left rather than the right. Okay, and now it's been 100 years. But I've said I think it'll be Steve Scalise because it can't be Gymnasium Jim Joanne Jordan. And Scalise was shot. He keeps his mouth shut. He's from Louisiana, and nobody can read the guy. Well, I can read the guy, and I don't like what I read. He's bad news, and I'll tell you why. He's the guy that came out the other day and said that in their agenda of what they want to do at the top, believe it or not, is to roll back money for the IRS so that they can't hire more auditors. Well, who do you think's getting audited? Who would be audited by these guys? High net worth individuals who are their donors. One of the things that George W. Bush, and suddenly everybody goes, oh, George W. Bush, what a great guy. No, he was not a great guy. I don't even think he was legitimate. I think Gore won that case. They were going to do a recount in Florida, and the Republican-dominated Supreme Court stopped them. They stopped them. That was the first time they stuck their nose in it. Now they're doing it again in Moore versus Harper. But in any event, what George W. Bush did was, about 15 years ago, he rammed through a spending provision that emasculated the IRS. It cut out many of its auditors, especially forensic auditors, lawyers, and accountants that were experienced at detecting fraud. And why is that? It was because those people were looking at hedge funds. They were looking at venture capital firms. They were looking at closely held companies that had 100 LLCs and nobody knew where they were. There is massive fraud occurring in our tax structure at the highest income levels. And the IRS is supposed to catch it. Well, the IRS needs forensic lawyers and forensic accountants. In other words, people that are skilled at detecting fraud in accounting. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. All you have to do is label something a fee as a fee and take it from your own affiliate and not disclose it. A lot of this spills over to the Securities Exchange Commission, the SEC. George W. Bush yanked the money. And there are two things about that. One is there's fraud. And number two, there's less revenue coming into the federal government from taxes, which they should have collected. And then the Republicans go, oh, we're running deficits. We got to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. What, to pay for their fraud? Scalise is bad news. He's from Louisiana. He was shot. I'm sorry to see that. We don't like extremists running around shooting people. Guy was shot at a baseball game. And so what? Oh, I shot at a baseball game, therefore I should be the speaker? Give me a break. Let's look at the merits on the guy. I sympathize with 100% on his victimization by the shooter. But the guy comes out, the clown, he's the number two Republican now. And he goes, the first thing we're going to do is get rid of the IRS money. And there are people in the Freedom Caucus who want to get rid of the IRS. It's all voluntary. You send in your taxes or you don't. And there are many people that want to repeal the amendment that set up an income tax back 110 years ago. You know, there's no income tax during the 19th century. How do you know, you start to think, how did George Washington and Abraham Lincoln equip an army and they had no income tax? You know what they did? They got it in tariffs. You paid fees at the post office. It was very, very haphazard. And as we became a major power after the decline of Great Britain, we were the major power, certainly over France and Germany and Britain. You have to have a modern government. So they put through a constitutional amendment about 110 years ago, roughly 1916, to authorize an income tax. Otherwise, Supreme Court said it was against the Constitution. I don't think it's against the Constitution. I don't think it needed a constitutional amendment. But these clowns in the Supreme Court have been a problem for a long time, and they still are. So some of the people in the Freedom Caucus want to get rid of the IRS. Scalise has a sneakier way, like George W. Bush. Oh, we'll just get rid of their money. Yeah, they can hire a few secretaries, a few people. Maybe they'll review every hundred thousandth return. And no, we're not going to look at hedge funds, venture capital firms, closely held companies. None of that. None of that. So this is what you're going to get. I'll tell you something else you're going to get. And this really concerned me. And there was a terrific video on it last night. The January 6th Commission promised secrecy and anonymity to roughly six witnesses. I've heard it described as four or six. It's somewhere between four and six. Let's say it's six witnesses. Because they testified not on TV. They testified in a closed-door deposition, the January 6th Commission lawyers, and they had very, very influential and important information that the January 6th Commission hadn't known. But there were people who, if their names were disclosed, would be subject to threats, death threats, physical harm, and, quite frankly, getting fired. And you may say, well, Joe Biden wouldn't fire him. That's true. Joe Biden wouldn't fire him. But there's an awful lot of the government that Joe Biden doesn't control. There are a lot of different departments and divisions and everything else, and he can't react all the time. And if and when a Republican ever gets back in, they'd be fired. So the idea was, these are truthful people. They're patriots. They came forward. They gave us information. And here's what we're going to do. They are getting the impression that when the Republicans take over the House, which they have effectively with 222 members, and it only takes 218 for a majority, when they get their act together and finally come up with a speaker, and I don't care if it's McCarthy, Scalise, or anybody else, they will leak those names to hurt those individuals, even subjecting them to physical threat. Remember, Jordan, who won't be speaker in my view, wants to be head of the Judiciary Committee, which does all the investigations, and they're going to get a lot of the January 6th documents. I don't trust Jim Jordan. He sat in the White House with Trump Christmas week plotting the insurrection. He should be in prison. He is one of the ones that should be disciplined by the Ethics Committee in the Congress. One of the promises that Kevin McCarthy has made to the Freedom Caucus is that if they support him, he'll disband the Ethics Committee, get rid of all its funding. and that he will stop any investigation into January 6th and any discipline or investigation in congressmen that blew off their subpoenas and may have been involved, like Perry of Pennsylvania and Jordan of Ohio. This is going on. This is history being made right now. As you slept last night, as you had breakfast this morning, it's being made right now. Being made right now. Now, one of the things, if, believe it or not, that they see as a benefit, the Democrats, to the Republicans screwing around and not being able to come up with a speaker, is that they have approached the White House and Homeland Security and said, we want to turn over all this information to you before a speaker is named so that you have it in your custody and it's not in our custody. And then when McCarthy or Scalise or one of these guys gets in and they say, we want it back, it's in your hands, and then they can sue you or whatever they want. But the issue of the confidentiality of these witnesses' names will be preserved. This is extremely important. And it occurred to me, well, how much damage can the House do by itself? Because the Senate, Schumer, we have a majority, we have 51 votes. And then you have Biden's veto. That requires 67 Senate votes and two-thirds of the House to overturn. And they ain't going to get two-thirds of the House when they have only 22 members and we have 213. They're not going to get two-thirds. Well, there's sneaky things they can do. They obviously can't pass something, but they can stop something. What can they stop? How about increasing the debt limit? Why is that important? Right now, the debt limit is set at roughly $32 trillion. There was a bipartisan bill that went in just at the end of the year before the turnover of the House. Everybody, all the Freedom Caucus complained about it. Moscow Mitch bought it. You have a big increase in defense spending, about $45 billion to Ukraine. But it extended the debt limit. And also gave money to the government. The budget was increased till next September. So we're golden till next September. That's 9 months from now. So next September is going to come pretty quick. When somebody like even Scalise is the speaker, the Freedom Caucus is pressing them to say, we will only extend the debt limit if you cut Social Security and Medicare. That's what they're saying. Cut Social Security and Medicare. How much? Several of them want to abolish them. They're not going to get them abolished. But cutting them, what does that mean, cutting them? Does that mean increasing the Social Security age from 70 to 72? And for benefits from 65 to 67 and early benefits 62 to 64? That's being proposed. In other words, the proposal would be you wouldn't be able to draw any Social Security till you're 64. The heck was 62. And you know now they go, oh, you're 65, you can get what are sort of called full benefits. No, that'll go till 67 or 8. And then right now it pays for you not to take it till age 70 because it increases 8% a year. And so when you hit age 70, that's it. You might as well take it because you're not going to get any more of an increase. They're going to increase that. They do it sneakily by sneaking it up, you see? And cost of living increases. They may limit those or eliminate those. This is going on as we speak, and this is all a preface to slowly chipping away out of it and privatizing it. That is the Holy Grail. And also the idea with Medicare, we're going to give you a voucher. We'll voucherize it. We're going to put 10 grand in your name, shop around for a private insurance company. Insurance companies will screw you. If you don't have a lawyer in the family, they won't cover half the stuff that Medicare covers. Going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Well, I won't
back. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, here's an extraordinary text that came out of the January 6th Commission. I've seen a lot of buttes, believe me. And obviously they had hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of pages of stuff. We don't get through all of it. But this one is a real beauty, okay? This is a text that came from Hope Hicks. Do you remember Hope Hicks? She was a young lady that was an aide to Trump, and she would accompany him occasionally and all that. And she sent a text right after January 6th to Ivanka Trump's chief of staff, who's a woman named Julia Radford. Now, you may say, what do you mean? Ivanka Trump has his chief? You know, what's that all about? These people all have chiefs of staff, not just the president. You know, chiefs of staff have chiefs of staff. These guys all, it's like a lady in waiting in the monarchy in Europe in the Middle Ages. I mean, lady in waiting. That's what they have. The first lady is a chief of staff. Jill Biden is a chief of staff. All the cabinet is a chief of staff. It's a status symbol. What do? Do they get coffee? I don't know. I don't think they just get coffee. I think they do other stuff. I think, for instance, they give advice. And, you know, I don't know how much advice Ivanka Trump needs from a lady in waiting, but that's what the deal is. Well, Hope Hicks sends this text, and I am going to delete. I'm going to abbreviate the obscenities, okay? I'm going to abbreviate the obscenities because we're controlled by the FCC. Hope Hicks, right as the January 6th insurrection had occurred, to Ivanka Trump's chief of staff, Julia Radford, quote, "The Trump family is now royally effed. In one day, Trump ended every future appearance that doesn't include speaking at the local Proud Boys chapter. And all of us who don't have jobs lined up are perpetually unemployed. I'm so mad and upset. We all look like domestic terrorists now. Not being dramatic, but we are all effed." Okay. Now, you know, look, where's the remorse? I mean, where's the concern for the Constitution here? You know, it's like, I might not get a job. You know, and Trump, that magnificent man, he'll only be able to talk to Proud Boys chapters. I mean, this was in the archives of the January 6th Commission. I don't know. I found it funny in a way, and it angered me in a way. If she's looking at TV and seeing people killed, woman shot, another woman trampled to death, which is a very gruesome way to go, I understand. And it's never happened to me, and I hope it never does happen to me. A cop almost beaten to death until he says, I have four daughters. Gallows, hang Mike Pence. They go through the hallway going, oh, Nancy, you know, 100-pound woman who's 80 years old, and they're going to beat her to death. And this is the text you get. It's not like, what a horrible thing. They should bring those people to jail. No, no. Here's what it is. The Trump family is now royally effed. In one day, he ended every future appearance that doesn't include speaking at a local Proud Boys club. And all of us who didn't have jobs lined up are perpetually unemployed. I'm so mad and upset. We all look like domestic terrorists now. Not being dramatic, but we are all effed. It's basically, you know, how does my hair look? How does my makeup look? How about me? But enough about me. What do you think of me? I mean, where, if this person, Hope Hicks, is a senior aide to Trump, she's writing to Ivanka Trump's chief of staff, and Ivanka Trump was given a top secret clearance, even though the FBI and the CIA opposed it, and Trump just dangled it out to his kids. This is what they talk about? This is what they're worried about? This is what they're worried about? Give me a break. Give me a break. I mean, it really shows, I mean, the real selfishness of that whole crowd. I want to talk about Ukraine and a couple of things. The savagery that's going on by the Russians, and this is a subtext, but it's going on behind the scenes. Over Christmas, there were four top former Putin allies, oligarchs, who were murdered in 1 week. by Putin. Vladimir Nestov, December 28, 74. They call him the Rocket Man. He was supposed to oversee the manufacture of rockets, missiles for the Russians, and they started to run out of them. They offed him. David Antov, December 24th, Christmas Eve. He fell out of a hotel window in India. He was there on a trip. Suddenly, he got thrown out of a hotel window, which is what Putin does. He favors that. Said he fell out. Remember, the last guy fell out of a hospital window. Alexander Brzeznikov. He was the guy supposed to manufacture the tank, 65 years old. He also died on Christmas Eve. Just happened to die on Christmas Eve with no health problems. Alexei Maslov. He was a tank guy, too. Christmas Day, December 25th. So two on Christmas Eve, one on Christmas Day, one on the 28th, all in the 70s or 80s, healthy as horses. They fall out windows. This one dies, that one dies, or no cause of death is given, but it's said that it was health-related. What I do not understand, and if there's any oligarch listening to this, and I doubt very seriously there is, what are you waiting for? You waiting to be killed yourself? Why don't you kill this guy? Why don't you kill Yevgeny Prezhnev, the head of the SS, the Wagner Group? Why don't you kill Sergei Lavrov, Ramzan Kartikov, the Islamic terrorist who runs Chechnya? It's going to happen to you. The other thing is, and Zelensky's magnificent, they killed the Ukrainians, actually several hundred Russian soldiers. The Ruskies say it was only 64. And they shot down every drone that came in. These were all Iranian drones. Why has Iran not been bombed? They've declared war on Ukraine. They've declared war on the United States and Israel. We don't do anything about it. They send missiles into the Middle East to rain on Israel, to shoot in Syria, to shoot American soldiers. And now they're doing this to a European country. Why are the factories that make these drones not bombed? Why is their Navy not bombed? Why is their Army not bombed? Why do we let them into the country as immigrants? No Russian or Iranian or any enemy of the United States should be brought in as an immigrant. Okay, I've had my piece. I've said my piece. We're going to the end of the show. Great calls, as always. Matt Flynn Direct. We're back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.